I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the latest Everton Fan Focus podcast with me, Mark Ellis, and Mark Finnegan. On tonight's show, we're going to be looking back at Everton's game against Manchester United at home and the recent away trip to Aston Villa, amongst other things, in what has been another interesting 2 weeks at Goodison Park. Mark, so looking back, if we can go back 2 weeks ago, we played United at home, fantastic result. What was your thoughts on that game?
Well, it feels like we've been through the motions in the past fortnight, hasn't it, yet again?
Yeah.
Since we last spoke, which was to preview the United game, a lot has happened. Not all of it negative, thankfully.
No.
But starting with that United game, it was a real spectacle, as sad as that might sound. We haven't had many results to shout about this season, but in some ways, it just felt like, I don't know, the paramount of our season, as good as it's going to get, beating a big side like United, and beating them comfortably, really, didn't we?
Yeah, it was what it was. It was like, I said before the game, our season needed like a signature moment just to sort of give any hope, you know, for next season. We just had a season, a non-entity season, didn't we, you know. The game against an informed United, it were, you know, we're not just getting results, but I think their play was improving as well.
Yeah.
Everton really rolled back the clock, 12 months, and pulled up a great performance against United. It was, you know, the possession was overplayed in the media, saying, United dominated, but we did exactly the same last season. It was a deliberate tactic for me, wasn't it?
That's it. I think we changed our style, and Roberto rightly deserved praise for that, and he got the plaudits because we did. We sort of sacrificed our passing game and control and possession for a bit more direct and allowing United to have possession. But obviously Lukaku came back into the fold, didn't he?
Yeah.
Which was a boost. Osman returned from injury. The sun was shining, and everyone seemed like it was up for a good party. It was good to see everyone like sort of up for the game.
I agree. The game sort of, Everton, you know, it was from the way it go, wasn't it? We just looked a different team. I don't know, you know, we go back last week with Villa and what happened there, but against United it just looked like, you know, a corner had been turned, didn't it? You know, Everton played with a great intensity from the start. I hate to sound like Roberto, but they did.
Yeah.
You know, they attacked at pace, didn't they, with pace.
It was nice to keep the unbeaten run going and in such emphatic style. And I think with a lot of our home games recently, we've took an early lead, and it was the case with McCarthy with his goal, and he's been like a changed man in the past month or so. Maybe not so much against Aston Villa, but he put us in the lead, and it was a deadly counter attack, wasn't it, after 5 minutes, and free flow move that McCarthy finished, and he finished well.
The finish looked, you know, first of all, I've got to apologise. After the Villa game, I really laid into McCarthy because I couldn't get over how poor he was. Called him overrated. It was clearly not meant. He is a great player.
Is this a retraction of your Twitter comments?
A complete retraction, yeah. I got the most negative response ever on Twitter from
you.
So.
You upset your fan club, didn't you, Mark?
They did. You know, I lost a few, lost about 6 followers, I think, for that one. No.
Knee-jerk.
But it was total knee-jerk, yeah, the guy. But, you know, his goal against United, I thought it looked simple, but it was really fantastically taken gold, given De Gea's form as well this season. You know, he finished it well, didn't he?
Definitely. And I mean, obviously, United were caught napping, but I thought the way we broke Coleman, he summed up how he's been playing in recent weeks, really. He got forward at pace, obviously tried to put Lukaku in. It did fall kindly to McCarthy, but, you know, it wasn't just a simple tap-in or anything like that. Far from it. He had to get past two defenders and beat the keeper, which he did. And it was the start that we all wanted, and I think after that, if there was only one way the game was going to go, really. Even if United did have possession and hold of the ball for long periods, you always felt that Everton weren't going to sit back and defend the 1-0, though, were they?
No, we gave the sort of cold spring impression, didn't we? You know, where we did it last year, and United simply didn't learn, did they? You know, we just waited and waited and waited, let them have all the ball they can want, they could have, and we just sort of attacked. At will, you know, we never sort of sat back, did we? You know, we did sit back, obviously, but it was always with the dormant intensity to go at them again.
That's it, and I think after taking the early lead, United did come back. Obviously, there was that Fellaini chance, wasn't there?
Yeah,
if that goes in, the games itself could pan out differently. But as it was, he fluffed it, and we all thought, hang on, this could be our day, yeah. And thankfully, it did turn out to be our day. We kept going. I think we deserve praise for that. But I think it was half an hour or 35 minutes. We got our second. And again, it was a fast attack from Everton.
Yeah.
Coleman involved again. But what a ball from Aaron Lennon. I don't know if you remember it, Mark, because it was 2 weeks ago now. It was that turn where he was in his own half. I think he was in his own half. And it was a defence cutting ball out to the right. And then Coleman, obviously, he won the corner from that.
That's right, yeah.
I've confused you there by saying that.
I thought it was a free forward attack. I'm sure he scored from...
The build-up was magnificent.
Yeah, you're right. And Lennon, again, you know, how impressive has he been since he signed? I think, to me, you know, it sounds ridiculous. I think Stones and McCarthy will be in runners for the player of the season, but I think we've been that poor. I think Lennon could be right up there in contention. He's been... His attitude has been first class.
Put it this way, if the season was another couple of months into June or July, there'd be no question that Aaron Lennon would probably get it, but he was the one who was involved in setting it up, and then it was successive corners. Yeah. I think it was three, wasn't it?
Three corners, yeah.
And good old John Stones got off the mark for the Blues, didn't he?
It was great to see Baines put in a couple of really good deliveries as well. They were all testing, they were all probing, and yeah, Stones...
Garbutt-esque,
yeah. Hinchcliffe-esque as well. It was great, you know, Stones. Have you ever seen a goal more gleefully celebrated than that? It was brilliant to see. You could see what it meant. It's sort of how any one of us would react if we scored a good sitting against United. It was, you know, there's a guy with all the talent in the world. Okay, he's young, you know, and he has got stuff to learn and all that, but, you know, he could be a future England Everton captain for sure, couldn't he?
It's like that sort of... feeling when it comes to 5 o'clock on a Friday and you know you've got 20 cans of lager in the fridge and your bird's got steak on the go. It's like you walk out and you think you're on top of the world, but there was some great pictures of Stones celebrating and that. You could tell he's a well liked lad at the club as well. But we're gonna come back to John Stones later because we could probably talk all night about him, couldn't we?
Yeah, but to be said about the goal, terrific towering header.
He'd done well, didn't he?
Could have blazed that over or flicked it on, but he aimed the goal, and I think Young couldn't stop it on the line, could he? You know,
that was it, and in the back of the net, and great time to score again. And obviously, 10 minutes before the break, we found ourselves 2-0 up, but it wasn't like it was just, you know. We did soak up a bit of pressure and possession, but I thought we were good for the 2-0.
Yeah.
It's not like we just hit them on the counter and it was against the run of play. I thought we were all right for the 2-0 at half time.
I agree. We weren't under any sort of heavy amount of pressure from United, were we? You know, they probed. But for me, it was, you know, for taking... I wanted to have a word on Rooney's performance. You know, I just think that guy does not try against Everton at Goodison Park. I've seen it. You know, I've seen him score, obviously, at Goodison Park. But... his whole body language, his demeanour, it's like it sounds bad because he quite clearly does try for United, but I think something gets in the way when he plays Everton at Goodison Park.
Definitely, we've seen him be the outstanding performer for United over recent years. You know, even through the time when Moyes was there, Rooney's the type of player, he's that talented and he will graft all day for you, but against Everton, I agree, he was lacklustre, wasn't he? He didn't look that interested. He knew he was up for a battle with Jagielka, who is apparently his mate.
Yeah.
and Stones, who, you know, is just in a class of his own now. So yeah, I completely agree. But there was others, wasn't there? Fellaini, look at, he got,
I think the occasion got to Fellaini as well. I think he was, you know, Fellaini's done well. He had a really bad season last year, and he was a bit of a clown, wasn't he, for United as well. And so he's wanting to prove a point against his old club, as you would. But I just thought the occasion, so he was like Coney away
at Swansea.
He was that kind of loose cannon, wasn't he? He just looked like he was going to get sent off.
Well, he got the early booking, and then Van Gaal took him off at the break, didn't he? And I think a lot of us were probably not happy to see him go off, but unsurprised, really, because
he's been United's best player, the last
month. Falcao came on, but we made changes of our own in the second half. It was much of the same, wasn't it? United saw a lot of the ball. They huffed and they puffed. Falcao did come on, and he had a goal disallowed, a few half chances here and there, but there was nothing major, was there? I mean, we made a change. I think it was 60 odd minutes.
Yeah.
Morales came on for Osman, who looked absolutely knackered, but he'd just returned from injury.
And he played a pivotal role in getting us the 2-0, hadn't he? You know, he calmed us down and got us playing as well, you know.
Definitely.
That's the only thing I ever say when I see Osman play for Everton, but he has been a key asset for us the last few weeks. But Morales came on and instantly looked up for it, didn't he?
He did. And it was a bit of a look, really, with the Barclays ball over. He was obviously trying to put Lukaku in. This, I think it was 5 minutes after Morales had came on. But Morales, credit to him, he carried on going, didn't he? And you'd always fancy him in them one-on-one situations, don't you?
He's clinical in that. It was a classic Gladys Street goal, that was, Mark. The way, you know, it was just everything you'd want. You know, he went clean through, he gave the goalie the eyes and stuck it in the other corner. You know, it was a proper confident finish from, you know, a guy, you know, let's not, we've been banging on about Morales for most of the season, his attitude, but 11 goals is an excellent return for someone who's had so many injuries and dips in form, and, you know, he's done well, really, on the goal return, hasn't he?
Definitely. I mean, I've openly criticised him, and I won't change my views that I do think he will go on.
I think his
heart's not in it, but we all know that the quality's there. I'm not saying I'd like to see him leave Everton, but I just think it's inevitable that he will. But he's definitely quality in front of goal. And it seems like he misses a couple of games. He starts a couple of games and then he comes off the bench for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
There's never like a level of consistency with him.
I don't think I've ever seen him finish a game either, Mark. It's like, I don't know what to do. He doesn't ever seem to be fit, 100% fit, does he? So he's always taking precautions, or like you say, starting on the bench.
Yeah, frustrating, really, but
yeah,
he took his goal well. United obviously fell asleep for that, and that was game, set and match, really. And to be honest, Morales could have made it four with that sting and effort just moments later.
Great effort, that was going in right into the postage stamp, wasn't it? And De Gea showed us why he's one of the best keepers in the league and got to it.
Too right. But apart from that, there was months to shout about, like, to be honest, in terms of a United comeback. I think Chris Smalling had flashed the header, and that was saved. Stones, Jagielka, Coleman, Baines and Howard, they were all solid all afternoon long, weren't they?
I thought it was Howard's best performance of the season, to be honest. He didn't have me, he normally has me in a sort of Paul Gerrard state of panic when he's playing, but he looked composed, you know, picked up on his recent form, and he delivered the most solid performance he has this season against United, which is never a bad thing.
And what about Gareth Barry too? It was an absolute masterclass, I thought, for
brilliant.
Him and McCarthy.
Him and McCarthy were fantastic. Yeah, given, I think him and McCarthy, and I like to say Lennon again, because I just think he has such an influence on us going forward.
Definitely.
And going back as well. His chasing back is, you know, it sounds negative, but he's incredible at that as well.
Definitely, and it was, you know, I walked out of the ground and came away, and there was a few United fans having a bit of a dig, saying, oh, how many league titles and how many European Cups and all this, a few kids, but really it was Everton having the last laugh. We'd embarrassed United, and we're nowhere near them in the league, but it felt like it was good to have a sort of spring in your step coming away, and we'd reached the heady heights of the top 10 as well. At least for a week.
The first page on Sky Sports, on the league table.
Well, that's it. I mean, so how long have you looked at the league table and you've had to wait for the second page to load up?
I know, I've probably just took the sort of fingers away from my eyes when that table comes up, but you know, it's tough until May to get there.
So I think West Ham were having the season of their lives.
West Ham were winning the league about after 10 games, weren't they? You know,
they were having the season of their lives, and now we're in 3 points of them. And I know
it sounds ridiculous. I do find it crazy that we're that close. I think we're above West Ham.
If we would have called it this a week ago, we would have been even more optimistic.
I'm still in United past tense, not Villa past tense.
But obviously, with the Everton good comes the Everton bad. We have to concentrate on the Aston Villa game as well.
Yeah. The smile's just wiped right off my face from the United game.
But this is it, the highs and lows that we're talking about here. It probably sums up the season, doesn't it?
It does. How can a team who's just beaten United 3-0, a team full of confidence like United, that would have given most teams a massive shot in the arm. And yet we turn up at Villa, I don't know what he's doing with the team again, you know, he's changing the sides, but we looked unbelievably shorn of confidence. We looked like we did at Stoke, arguably. I mean, I don't know what goes on that training ground all week, Mark.
We look like a quivering wreck, and
yeah.
To me, echoes of what Newcastle are going through now.
I agree,
devoid of all confidence, devoid of all leadership, no creativity, no sort of ambition or positivity of
mind. We looked scared stiff, to be honest.
And we did, especially in that first half.
Yeah.
Roberto can say what he wants about that second half, but that first half, I thought, what am I watching here?
Half was so bad, anything in the second half would have been better, you know. Yeah.
I mean, it's easy for us to say now, Mark, but when you saw the team, Osman and Barkley dropped to the bench, in hindsight, we all say, why change a winning side? But
yeah,
I think he's just he was just pleasing Naismith, because Naismith hasn't been getting a game, and he's been irregular this season overall. And yeah, he's become more of a favourite, Naismith, but to me, the wrong time to just put him back in when Barkley, he's starting to enjoy his football again.
And he's been at such a precarious state of confidence all season long, and you're right, he has just, against United, he looked much more at it, didn't he? You know, why on earth would you want to substitute, you know, risk a player like Barkley's confidence with the talent he has to you know, with respect to Naismith, he's not as talented as Barkley. Why, you know, I just thought, Naismith hasn't played the last few weeks, and look at the results.
But you could tell, Naismith, because he was woeful. Absolutely woeful. He wasn't the only one.
It defied logic putting him back in, didn't it? In that position.
I completely understand Osman played out left, didn't he, against United, so mix it up a bit there. But to leave Osman and Barkley out of the side, I think, after such a great win, why not try? All the players are in the Echo and on the Everton website saying, oh, we want an unbeaten running, or, you know, maximum points haul from what we've got. Well, that's gone out the window because we've just been beaten. Even though the scoreline suggests differently, we were beaten comfortably by Villa.
Definitely. One Twitter comment I made, which I won't apologise for, was I thought Everton, the way they approached that first half, we were clearly safe, you know, after last week's United result and all that. I thought they had an absolute cheek turning up the way they did in that first half. They clearly thought the season was over. Given what's gone before this season, the sort of, you know, the horrendous season we've had in the league, the least Everton owed us was, I know it sounds like, you know, presumptuous, but was a strong end to the season. They had no right taking the foot off the pedal there, because that's like doing half a job and sitting back and admiring it. You know, I couldn't believe it.
The complete opposite to when we visited Villa Park 12 months ago and beat them 2-0, Lukaku and Osman scored.
I remember thinking, this is a great team we've got here, you know, and we didn't play well on that day, but we looked, you know,
we'd done the business.
Villa win,
I thought we were a bit like Liverpool, really, in the semi-final. Villa, you know, Villa deserved that victory, and they deserved to beat us. And they have improved under Sherwood, let's be honest. They probably deserved more out of the Manchester City game when they got beat 3-2 the week before.
They played with, I hate saying it because it's a Rodgers way, but they do play with amazing intensity, don't they? You know, Delph, I thought, was marvellous. I thought he was a great player.
Delph.
I hate praising opposition players, but you've got to give credit. Delph. And thought Benteke against Stones was a man against boys.
Well, I commented in the game and I thought, you know what? Someone like Fabian Delph, you know, to fill Gareth Barry's boots, it'd be brilliant. Like, he won't come cheap and there'll be other clubs sniffing around him. But it looks like we're going to get his midfield compatriot, Tom Cleverley. But to be honest, he had a good game. Benteke had a good game anyway, to the goals, Mark. Delph was involved in the first thing. It was just probably epitomised our display in the first 45. Ball over, decent ball over, but he beats two men. Baines was looking the other way. Yeah. Ball's in the back of the net. Howard never makes a save anyway, does he, really, let's be honest?
He doesn't look best when he's stood rooted there to the spot.
And they were rightly 1-0 in front, but it wasn't just a case of a caginess about the game and they sort of got themselves ahead. You could feel the goal coming, I thought.
Yeah.
Villa wanted the game more, wanted the ball more.
Yeah.
Everton just looked half asleep, and soon after that, there was a chance with Ron Vlaar as well, and he, that was a sitter, wasn't that's it? Ridiculous. I mean, you were at Aston Villa, Mark. Yeah. What were the fans like when would they just put tear in their ear?
I was just sitting in the main stand, in the Dorel stand, and the atmosphere was well, where I was sitting, obviously can't speak for everyone, was absolute rage at what was going on. There was, you know, the players might have been on their holidays, but the fans weren't, and you know, that there was a total disconnection between what was going on the pitch and what was happening in the stand. From where I was sitting, it was anger. It was just that we seemed incapable of passing the ball 5 yards.
Yeah.
I don't think we strung two passes together all first half. Which, you know, I go back to it. What is he doing on the training ground for that to happen against beating United 3-0, where we look, you know, $1 million? Against Villa, we just look scared. I don't know. They just outdone us with intensity.
It's a cliche, but it felt like men against boys. And
totally.
That yeah. Vla chance was a sitter. That should have been 2-0.
Yeah.
As the game went on, you could feel a second goal coming, and that Grealish threw a corner in, didn't he, just before the break, and Benteke got a second, and deservedly so, to be honest, but an excellent time to score. The wind's well and truly out of our sails, but at half time, Mark, I read the statistics. Well, I never read them. I saw the game anyway.
Yeah.
And there was not even a passage of play to get excited about. Never mind an attempt on goal.
No, I think I remember once Seamus Coleman going down the right and putting the ball across that nobody could get on the end of. I think that was about it. Yeah. There was, like you say, there wasn't even a reaction to going 1-0 down.
No.
There was not, and I just don't think the system. And I'm not like making excuses, but I just don't think Naismith worked in there. We had no presence in the midfield.
No, I
didn't have the McCarthy, you know, let's have it right, did have his probably his worst game forever.
McCarthy had a shocker. Barry wasn't much better. Across the team,
Barry couldn't string a pass together. The amount of misplaced passes Barry done across is, you know, looked like he was helping his old mates out rather than, you know, the team he was playing. Yeah, I've never seen so many, what's the words, reckless passes in all my life across the sort of, you know, the middle of the park there where Villa intercepted.
And it's right through the team, to be honest. Lukaku, to me, he's coming back from injury, but he's not fit enough.
Yeah.
He didn't even look likely to get anywhere near the ball in the first 45. He was so
much
frustrating.
Better second half, I thought, Lukaku.
He did improve, but overall, improve. But, like, we just had a bit more about us. I mean, we got ourselves back into it. With Naismith, didn't we get him fouled? That the penalty decision, it was a penalty.
Yeah.
And Lukaku put it away. But the manner in which he took the penalty, I don't know how Shea Given didn't save it, to be honest.
I think Shea Given could have gone the wrong way, got up and saved it again. You know, it was that penalty had my nerves gone. I thought he rolled it wide. The Villa fans are already, as you can imagine, laughing. But what we're doing, and you know, if he'd have missed that. But look, that what is going on with the penalty situation?
Well, we've talked about this time and time again, but now
it seems to be rearing its head every week now.
This was a different lad on the penalties all the time. And Roberto, in his last interview, did say Rom is the penalty taker, but he's a specialist.
I think Lukaku's doing it under duress, to be honest with you. I don't think he wants to take the penalty.
Is he just doing it to get the goal tally up? Baines, for me, over the years, I know he hasn't had his best season, but he's always chipped in with the assists, with the goals, and with the penalties. Having the record he does, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just like, it's changing it, trying to be cool, or it's in like Lukaku's contract.
Yeah.
It's a strange one, but it's one we've talked about time and time again this season.
I just don't think Baines' record warrants him getting dropped from the penalty spot, you know, from penalty duties. He's only missed one at Old Trafford. It was a poor penalty, but you know, I've seen Tony Cotty take unteam penalties for that, and he missed an absolute load.
It's just changing it. I don't know. It's questionable, but as you said, it seems to be a discussion now every other week we're having. We've spoke about the Morales incident, obviously Ross Barkley. It's like, where's the consistency? But anyway, he put that away. We thought maybe there's a bit of a lifeline. Did you feel like that when you were sitting there, Mark? Or
to be honest, it was a lifeline as much as that it was 2-1, but there was just no conviction about the way we were playing. You know, it was just, we did look better. We did, you know, we couldn't have looked much worse, to be honest with you, but I always felt Villa could go up another gear if they needed to. And and they did. I know that sounds negative, and that, to be honest, when it got to 2-1, everyone wants, you know, Everton to press on, and, you know, you win the off throw-in and fans start getting behind the team, and we want, you know, we have got the quality to hurt teams, which is why, you know, you kind of expect to come back half the time, but we just didn't look at it from day one, from moment one against Villa. They always, and like you say, their goal was typical of how we were playing and how they were playing. It was inevitable.
And that man, Tom Cleverley, obviously.
Yeah. He got, to him, it was a good finish.
It was a good finish, but I just felt the win, as you said, from the off, we didn't look, we couldn't match Villa at any position across the team.
But like a fella, if I'd given an idea, a fella looking at his wife's dress and saying it's lovely, but then really not that interested in seeing it, but it out. Yeah.
You and your analogies. obviously, Cleverley scored.
Yeah.
And up at the other end, we couldn't really muster anything special. Overall, our performance levels did improve, but as you said, it couldn't get any worse than the opening 45 minutes. Ironically, Barkley and Osman, the two players who were dropped, were then thrown on with 15 minutes to go. It's not a long time to have a real effect, is it?
I totally agree. You know, I hate it when managers let goals sway their decisions. Everton still weren't playing well enough despite the penalty goal. I think them subs should have come 10 minutes earlier. And I know, like, you know, we've got, you know, that's typical what football fans say, and it's just moaning at the manager. But, you know, we were playing that badly. We needed something else coming off the bench. I just don't think we, you know, Martinez, far too Moyes like in his, you know, where's the brave Martinez of last season who wouldn't have waited that long, you know?
Well, Cleverley scored on 64 minutes, Mark.
Yeah,
64 minutes.
It's still a long time.
Why is it taking 11 minutes to get your two lads on after that? You get them on straight away.
Get them on. And to be honest, we looked a lot better. Barkley, I thought, you know, played a few lovely passes down the right.
Well, Osman got involved as soon as he came on, remember, down the left hand side.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we couldn't get a second goal with enough time to go. And
no.
Jagielka did score.
I was amazed he never gave a foul on given for that. It was just weird. The ball just went up about 10,000 feet into the air, and it was, you know, Jagielka just nodded it in. But I was utterly amazed that the ref, I'm not saying it was a foul, but they nearly always give a foul in them,
especially when the keeper's involved. Yeah. Definitely. Jagielka increased his goal tally, which is probably his best, isn't it?
Sixth, I think.
Fair play to him for that. But up at the other end, we'd forgot. Across the team, we'd forgotten that the Man United game was well and truly put to bed, wasn't it? It was like the two Evertons that we've come to know in this season.
Nothing ever 100% positive. We've always got a round off, you know, a happy day with, you know. And when I always think this, when we're bad, and I don't want to make this negative, I don't think there's anybody in the league that plays as bad as we do when we're off it.
Yeah.
You know, I think even barely, you know. I probably that's an Evertonian, you know, me seeing it through frustrated eyes. But it's like, you know, when we stink, we really stink the place out.
We do. And Martin, as I was saying, we suffered a hangover from the United game.
No.
If anything, if you beat Manchester United 3-0, that should spare you on. Never mind a hangover. You should be well.
A hangover is the 5-2 defeat at Kiev. That's a hangover. Yeah. Not a 3-0 home win. I think, you know.
But again, You could sit here and talk for days about some of the stuff Roberto's come out with this season and scratch your head, and it looks like he's been scratching his head because he's ended up looking like you, Mark. He's got no hair left.
I think it's been a collective hair loss effort from management to fans this season.
It's incredible, Mark, that picture.
Your hair's grown though, so
my hair's grown, I'm
starting to think you don't care.
My hair's grown, and I'm drinking cups of tea and not beer on the podcast for once. I'm a changed man. I've become religious or something, I don't know. It's incredible when you see the pictures of him though. I mean, I don't know whether that's through choice, but he's almost become like a Scouser, hasn't he? And morphed into a Scouser within.
Yeah, you're right. He does
18
look,
months.
He looks like he was born in Bootle, to be honest. No, and I'm not saying that about Bootle, but I know a lot of people.
He owns a tapas bar by the Strand.
Yeah. That's not a slight on Bootle people, but he just looks like.
It's a shit up. Funny mess in Bootle.
He just looks like a lad who you see. Asking for money outside the shop that they always get made, but you know.
Whereas Moyes has gone the other way. Moyes, his ginger's gone blonde.
Yeah. Moyes is on the verge of a few Armani commercials. I think the way he's looking.
Oh God!
I think We were all laughing at Moyes last season, weren't we? He'd aged 400 years. And now, I do honestly think there is a bit of karma going on here with the way we sort of had an absolute ball last season with Martinez and Everton with School of Science, and United were having such a poor time. Moyes, you know, grass isn't always greener. I just think a little bit of karma's come into play this season, because it does feel like something else is going on.
Well, 12 months ago, he looked like that Grim Reaper Moyes, didn't he? So far. Fast forward 12 months, you've got Roberto with a grey baldy head, looking a bit rough around the edges.
You just wonder if that Grim Reaper's booked his seat for the Tottenham game, don't you?
I wouldn't go that far, but you don't know, after that Stoke game. It all comes back to that Stoke game for me. I remember the feeling amongst the fans, and I just hope that's not something we're going to go through next season.
No.
Obviously,
I agree.
I think the past week as an Evertonian sums it up. Yeah. Not just this season, but in life in general, really. They have to knock you back down, don't they?
Like my missus has, I think, been calling me pathetic since August, the way I've been carrying on. And it's like, you know, when are you going to, you know, half the time you think, well, just what am I in it for? Everton just, you know, when you lose like that against Villa, it just felt like a 5-0 defeat, didn't it? It didn't feel 3-2. It didn't feel, I just thought we'd just got absolutely mugged.
That's just meaningless, isn't it? And by the time Cech had scored, I didn't even bat an eyelid, you know what I mean?
It almost was an irritant, because you knew, yeah. It was like you knew there was no time left to get an equaliser. So
the game was lost as soon as we kicked off on Saturday, Mark.
It was, I wish they'd have told everyone that before paying 41 quid a ticket to get in.
Yeah, you had to drown yourselves after the right fella.
Not half, 100 quid down.
that was we've obviously slipped down to 11th in the league table. Back to our
comfort zone at the second page.
The best of the rest, as we call
it. The best at the second page now, so we're getting there.
Don't get me wrong, we've still got a few games to go. And it's a big if, but if you beat Sunderland at the weekend and West Ham get beat, you go above them on goal difference, so you're back up to 10th. And I mean, obviously, we're not going to finish 8th, but I think 10th or 9th is far more respectable.
Honest, I get the feeling we'll. I think we'll beat Burnley. Burnley. We've already beaten Burnley. That's 3 points. Sunderland. I think we'll beat Sunderland and Tottenham. Yeah, and I can't see us. West Ham are on their holidays as well, aren't they? So I can possibly see 7 points from that.
Yeah,
it should be enough to sort of, you know, turn the page, get us on that first one.
See, Sunderland have beat Southampton, but they don't tend to do anything away from home. It is where they beat us now.
It's like they beat us 1-0 last season.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it's much of a muchness now, isn't it? It's not people just want it to be over, and
I agree.
I felt, although I didn't feel like that after the United game, obviously, but this Monday going to work was 10 times. Sorry, today going to work was a million miles away from what I felt last Monday.
Yeah,
I even wanted to do a match report after the United game. It's been about 3 months, but
well, that's my match report. I didn't do one after the Villa game. I just thought. If you want an opinion on it, just read the other defeats that we've had, and I could say the same thing. You know,
exactly.
I just feel like you're just repeating yourself all over again.
It's why, isn't it? Why change the team? Why do we look so lifeless? Why do we look so jaded?
So scared.
Yeah.
You know,
it's the same group of players.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I just don't know. Just like you say, there's an underlying thing that's gone on all season, hasn't it? You know, I guess we'll never find out, but one thing we cannot repeat what's been going on this season, next season. So for me, the hard work starts now. Summer, the season's like, it's like a fly swatting around your tea. You're trying to get rid of it. It's like, you know,
analogies.
I know,
again.
I can't help them. I've been reading books.
I was going to say, like a horse in a race, that's just like, it's fell over it 8 times.
Your only horse has pulled up at the back, and now you're just waiting for the race to finish.
Got back up and you just can't wait for it all to be over, but I've felt like that since December.
Yeah.
It's just not been.
No.
Even when we spoke in January and February, Mark, we still had Europe to sort of cling on to, didn't we? But
the sense of indifference since the Kiev game, Mark, hasn't left me. You know, we've obviously had to do a job in the league, and it was great that we picked up them points. And then Sunday, last Saturday against Villa just sent me right back down that path. You know, I'm trying to be positive, but now I'm afraid it's been ranting mostly on Twitter this week.
You've been recruiting, haven't you?
Ranting and recruiting, yeah, for something.
Well, we won't go there tonight. Because otherwise, it'd be dawn by the time we finished.
Bob's got work.
I think definitely we're in agreement there, yeah, about the United game. Such a positive note. The Villa game come crashing back down to earth with a bang.
Yes, definitely.
But rather than finishing on such like a negative, which we have done time and time again this season, it's been impossible not to, really.
Yeah.
I wanted to just get your thoughts on John Stones, Mark. And he didn't have the best of times against Aston Villa, but
no,
he scored against United, and it's relevant to talk about him. I don't know if you saw the interview you gave to Sky Sports. Have you seen that?
I didn't, to be honest, Mark, no.
There's an interview that it was on Twitter before, actually. It's 25 minutes long, so have a little look after you've on your way home later or whatever. It just comes across such a grounded lad, well mannered, well liked. You know, he's very, you can tell he's very humble, and he's not going to let it go to his head. And I think the likes of Ross Barkley's probably similar to that as well, isn't he?
Yeah, I think them two can lean off each other quite a lot, can't they? You know,
definitely. There's no sort of ego involved, and just watch it, Mark, and you'll be able to comment a bit more. But
I've heard in John Stones interviews in the past, and you're absolutely right, there's nothing egotistical about the guy, is there? You know, he's there, you'd like down the, you know, that you see down on the streets and all that. He's just down to earth, like you say. You know, he doesn't give the idea he's getting away, he's getting ahead of himself at all.
No, but on the pitch, matters on the pitch, Mark. I mean, obviously, he's been described as like a Beckenbauer by some, a Rolls Royce defender. You know, could be the best centre half coming out of England for 30 years. It worries me because the inevitable vultures will circle, and the mirror will be having a field day with him this summer. But it's been brilliant to watch, even against United when we weren't seeing much of the ball.
Yeah.
It was almost like Howard was told to release it to Stones every time, because it was like he's got to have X amount of touches of the ball because he's just willing to take it.
I think he can take it from one end of the pitch to the other, can't he?
And he can stride out with it, he can pick a pass. He just always seems willing. But positionally as well, his reading of the game, to me, it's just such a raw talent, a raw defensive talent that you only get once in a while.
He's a natural defender who loves defending, doesn't he? You can tell that, you know. It's like you say, I watched him against United, and I only watched him how his position was and his movement, and like you say, his reading of the game and his awareness of where the danger is really unbelievable for a lad of his age. You know, like I think when I first saw him and seen him play consistently, and you know, his first season for Everton, you can see why people compare him to Bobby Moore. He's got that natural grace about him on the ball, hasn't he? You know, he brings it out. He's a wonderful player. Can't fault him at all. I'm not going to, you know, go to town on him over Benteke, who's having a great end to the season, lording it over him on Saturday. John Stones has been easily one of our best players.
He has, and don't get me wrong, he made mistakes earlier in the season, and maybe last season at times he was caught out once or twice. But as Roberto said, it's been a real learning curve for John Stones.
Yeah.
You can't be critical of him. That's why when people are quick to jump on Ross Barkley's back, it's difficult, really, because with John Stones, he's expected to defend.
Yeah.
Like, he got a goal, but he's never really had an opportunity to score another goal, whereas Jagielka's in all around, isn't he?
Yeah.
Like, Distan, he never really nipped in with a goal. He's required to defend, and that's what you'd expect, whereas people expect a lot more from Ross Barkley.
Yeah.
And he is, you know, he's a creative midfielder, a number 10, and people want to see him with assists and goals and things, but for a young lad to be at the forefront of a struggling side, it's been unwarranted, some of the criticism this season. So I think those two, they really make me feel proud to have them. But the inevitable modern day football thoughts begin to circle, and as I said about the vultures,
I agree.
I think it'd be interesting, a real test of Everton's resolve to hold on to those two players in the next year, 18 months to 2 years.
I mean, I was worried with Roberto saying, you know, it's not the be all and end all of our future. You know, that had me greatly worried, to be honest with you, because those are exactly the players, along with Lukaku. I've said before that them three, you know, Stones, Barkley, Lukaku, I don't think there's a better youth spine than that in the country. I think most teams from the top four down would give the right arm for a core of youth players like that to build a team around. You know, wonderful talents if we can get them right, but it's like, you know, all we've ever heard is talk of dismantling them, not building around.
That's it.
You know, it's disheartening all the time, isn't it?
And that's it. And we obviously with people pay the money and they want to go and see these lads coming through.
Yeah.
A lot of people are banging on about Luke Garbutt as well because they know the talent's there. They want to see him get involved. Obviously, that's a mystery in itself, what's going on there. We'll come to Luke Garbutt.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah. At least as well. But they're the players you want to see. They give you that little bit of hope. Hope that Evertonians haven't really had. And obviously Wayne Rooney came through, Franny Jeffers, Michael Ball. But they've all gone.
Yeah.
And not all of them have gone on to great things, unfortunately. And we wanted them to be at Everton. And, you know, the others like your Hibberts and your Osmonds, they've stayed around for years and they'll give you heart and they'll give you soul, but they haven't got the talent that the likes of your Rooney's, your Barclays, your John Stones have got.
It's the raw talent ones that tend to sort of do one, isn't it? You know, and leave us. Yeah.
So I think it's a real test of resolve, but the fans definitely do pay. You know, don't get me wrong, I'd pay me money to go and see John Stones over the years. That's what I want. I don't want to turn up and see another Alcaraz, a foreign defender brought in.
No.
You just, you know, the ten a penny. I've seen many come and go as a midfielders. Not just having a go at foreign players, but in terms of what we've got now, we need to be building around them. But it's a big if for the summer ahead. And
they're three dynamic players, aren't they? You know, we're not talking about run of the mill, you know, defensive midfield player and a steady defender like we would talk about, say the likes of Unsworth in the day and all that. These are players with start with sort of an X factor about them, aren't they? You know, we're talking, you know, how United's maybe class of 92, that level of class for players that age. I know Barkley hasn't shown it this season, but he's certainly got it. You know, we should like you say, those are your hope, because, you know, let's face it, it's not going to come through the transfer market. It's going to come from youth players who are developed, and we have to keep hold of them three, bare minimum this summer.
Or plucking them like we did John Stones and bringing them through.
Yeah, I mean, fair play to Barnsley, who, you know, done a great job with him before, but we got our hands on him, you know. But he's a world class player, going to be an England regular, no question.
So onto the something that probably ties in with that is the transfer rumours. The Mirror, who I've mentioned there, will probably start to sell John Stones as soon as May the 24th is over,
no question.
And I think it's June the 1st, isn't it, when the next transfer window opens. So fortunately there isn't an international competition this summer.
No.
Because if he went away and done well, we've all seen what's happened before.
It sort of intensifies it, doesn't it, you know?
Yeah, it just makes it even harder for Everton.
Notice the Mirror don't try and sell the likes of Harry Kane, for example, who scored 30 goals for Tottenham this season. You never see him linked with other clubs because, you know, it's not, you know, it's not fashionable. If he played for Everton, he would have been linked to about 10 clubs already.
Well, let's be honest, the gang of bastards at the minute, aren't they? Yeah. They've been trying to unsettle and sell our players for years.
The Baines thing,
Fellaini, Baines. Yeah. Who else? Coleman. I mean, I'm sick of the Coleman. He's been linked with a 27 million move or something to Chelsea. I mean, they'd be blind to pay that for him, to be honest. He's worth a lot of money.
Coleman is a good player, but I don't think. I think Chelsea would be looking at better options than Shane.
What about Branislav Ivanovic? No.
Can we have him in the team then? No. You know, he's a terrific player, isn't he? You know.
But this is the thing. It'll start. It started already. I'll read some out to you, Mark, and I want to get your thoughts on it. Garbutt to Bournemouth was one.
That is the most strangest transfer rumor, unless he's got family down there and you know he's doing it. He's going home. That is one of the most weirdest transfer rumours ever. If we let a player like, well, it's bad enough letting him go, but you know, to sort of give him, you know, no disrespect to Bournemouth, but Luke Garbutt is an extremely good player. He's got a lot, really, if you ask me. But
it's a strange one, isn't it?
Because the most weirdest transfer rumour I've ever heard.
Well, it's like the links to Liverpool, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess he won't go away. To Liverpool, to be honest, given what the rumours and you know,
I just don't know what to believe, to be honest. But they're the ones about outgoing, is Coleman and Garbutt in the last week. In terms of incoming players, we've been linked with Yannick Bolasie, Joe Bryan, who's a left back from Bristol City, Tom Cleverley, obviously, Johnny Evans and Adnan Januzaj from United, and Virgil van Dijk from Celtic. There's also another one recently, is Rafa Silva, who's meant to be some wonder kid who plays in Portugal for Braga. I don't know much about. I've seen Van Dijk play for Celtic, and I know he was linked with the Premier League last summer. In terms of Bolasie, what do you make of him, Mark?
I absolutely love that fella. I think he's everything you want in a winger. He's someone that would get, you know, like an Andy Johnson type signing. You know, when we made his little step up in class and got a good player in, Bolasie would be a brilliant signing for me. I think he's got, you know, he's got wonderful ability, and he's got the ability to put teams on the back foot. They can never rest with a player like Bolasie.
Well, he's done it to us time and time again, hasn't
absolutely
he?
Absolutely. I've seen him do it to the likes of Liverpool as well in that 3-3. I would absolutely love the likes of Bolasie to sign. Great player, great pace, and I think he'd improve with better players around him. No disrespect to Palace, I know they're above us, but I think there's a better class of player at Everton.
That's it. I don't think Everton would be the only ones interested. No. Apparently, the rumours are like the Newcastles, your West Hams,
you could see
the Stokes. We all seem to be the same group of teams. Like whenever we're in a link with someone, we're always in a race with Stoke or Newcastle or something.
Whenever it's not the top teams, that's what's happening to Everton Football Club at the moment. Mark, we have to.
I know. But Bolasie, to be honest, it doesn't surprise me. He's linked with a 15 million. Apparently, Pardew said he'd have to pay 40. I don't know what Pardew's been smoking like, but £15 million.
Palace have turned down £15 million.
No, it doesn't surprise me, no, Mark. Because if you have a good season in the Premier League, we've seen it with the players Tottenham and Liverpool have bought over the past three seasons. If you have a good season in the Premier League, other clubs will buy you.
Liverpool have gone for flavour of the month, haven't they? Spent £40 million on the likes of Lovren and Lallana.
Exactly.
Really not done it.
Tottenham have done it as well, haven't they? Yeah. You know, let's be honest, it seems to be the norm. But I've got to agree, Mark, I like Bolasie as a player. Other people have sort of dismissed it and said he's not good enough. But you know, people said that about Aaron Lennon as well.
Well, yeah, it
depends what happens with him, doesn't it? Because he fits the bill for what we've been crying out for.
I would like Lennon to be the first signing, to be honest with you. I think he's the right kind of signing for us.
Completely agree.
Yeah.
Tom Cleverley, again,
I just think that's a nonsense start. I know he scored on Saturday, but you know, he's another sideways player. To me, there's nothing special there that we haven't already got. And I think he'd be blocking a youth player coming through, you know, because can he really do something that someone in the under-21s can't? I don't think he can.
We're just like packing that midfield, aren't we? Unless he's preparing for life after, you know, Gareth Barry and Darren Gibson. I don't know. I mean, Barry's going to be there for at least another year or so. But what about further down the line, Januzaj and Johnny Evans? It's just, again, it's the United outcasts, isn't it?
Yeah, Januzaj, feather duster, delivers as much as Kenway delivers investment promises.
Oof,
I guess.
I
said it on Twitter the other day, and I was proud of myself for coming up with that one, even though Kenway taught me my hand 24/7. Januzaj, you know, looked good when he started, but he just doesn't. I don't know. He's going down a lot. He doesn't seem to.
Something's gone wrong, hasn't it?
Yeah, so he's gone off the rails a little bit. I think we could do better than Januzaj. Johnny Evans, half decent, certainly a better alternative than Alcaraz and this time at centre back. You know, I heard we were linked with Thomas Vermaelen as well from Barcelona on loan. That would be a much better signing. Vermaelen's he hasn't played for Barcelona, has he, with injury, but he's
got great experience, hasn't he?
Yeah, on his day, yeah.
But is he another Alcaraz with his injuries?
Well,
you just don't know, do you?
You know, You don't know if you're signing a Peter Reid or a...
Yeah, Virgil van Dijk. Virgil van Dijk might look great in the Scottish League, but can he make the step up to the Prem?
I'm sure he likes his shots on goal, that fella. I've never seen a centre back. He's a class. He's a good player. Like you say, though, the difference in class between the SPL and the Premier League is massive, isn't it? So it's whether he could make the step up. Very few players seem to do it. Don't even remember Barry Ferguson playing for Blackburn when he was a class act, and he really struggled, didn't he?
Let's be honest. Tranmere could probably win the Scottish Premier League, though, wouldn't he?
I think so.
So what we said, a part of that, Mark, on Twitter today was asking Everton fans whether three players they want to see leave at Everton. Now, I'm sure Evertonians will all probably say, well, there's about seven players I'd want to see leave.
Yes.
But I asked the main three, and we also asked what three players you'd like to arrive at Goodison Park in the summer.
Yeah.
This is realistically. So we're going to read some out, Mark. Do you want to start?
I will. Martin Nolan, I suppose he'd like to see Howard, Distan and Alcaraz go. I think most people would agree with that. And it's signed Lennon, Dalafoe, a centre back and two strikers. So he's turned your three into a five there, which probably sums up the feeling out there. But yeah. Lennon and Dalafoe, I don't know if them two would happen together. David Davis wants to see Alcaraz, McGeady and Coney go. He's a bit vague on his targets. Solid winger, competition partner for Lukaku, and a proven centre back.
Well, Everton Canada goes on to say, there's a theme to this really, because a lot of people are saying McGeady, Alcaraz. This time Everton Canada's actually said McGeady, Alcaraz and Howard.
Yeah. Which is a surprise.
I wouldn't argue with that, but there's probably another five I'd add to that.
Yeah.
In Dalafoe, Stephen Caulker, he's a QPR, isn't he?
Yeah.
And David Marshall, the keeper.
Interesting one, Caulker. I can't remember him doing much this season.
We've been linked with him before.
Yeah, I think we were close to signing him at one point, weren't we?
Yeah, Luke Fletcher says Hibbert out. He wants Hibbert, Gibson and McGeady. There'd be three other players probably ahead of Hibbert and Gibson, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Although I see his point.
I can see his point totally with Hibbert.
He actually goes on to say, also out, Alcaraz, Pienaar, Distan and Kone. Yeah. So there's about seven there, his name. In, Alderweireld, I'll just say that. Toby Alderweireld, is he at Southampton?
He is, from Ajax.
I'm not even going to try and say it again, but he wants him. Charlie Austin and Aaron Lennon. He's also said, Ayew, I think that's the last, that's the lad from France.
Yeah.
Dalafoe, and two times ball playing centre backs again. He's asking a lot there, but there's a theme there. The first four people have said Gerard, Dalafoe.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, great quality. I just can't see it happening, and I think a lot of our fans need to just let it go. There seems to be this lingering love affair with them, and I think we can all dream of him coming back.
I'm guilty of looking back on the Dalafoe era with a bit of rose tint, to be honest, because when we see what we've had this season, Adelfo hasn't had a look in Sevilla, though, to be honest with you. He hasn't. I don't think he's played at all.
I can see him staying in Spain, no, Mark. I can't see him coming back here.
Yeah.
Brownie says Howard, Distan and Alcaraz. Yeah, as I say, I'm repeating a lot of these names here, but this is what the fans have said.
Yeah.
The ins would be Aaron Lennon, Virgil van Dijk and Subotic.
Subotic, is he Dortmund?
Yeah, he's over in Germany. He's a Croatian player, isn't he?
Yeah.
Do you want to carry on there? Goldrick?
Anne McGoldrick, out. She wants to see McGeady, Alcaraz and Coney go. Again, familiar. Coming in, Balassi, Harry Arter, that's a strange one. He's certainly done well for Bournemouth last season, but Championship level, don't know if he can make the step up. And Deeney, Watford. Do you want me to read that last bit? This is not me, this is someone else. Owen Kenwright as well. Deeney's certainly, I think he missed out with Watford the last time they were in the Premier League. He was injured all season, and then he's done well at Championship level, but again,
is he the one who's been in Nick?
No.
In jail?
That was Marlon King. Is that what you're thinking of?
Oh, I don't know, I'm sure.
He could have been, for all I know. He certainly, no.
Banging in the goals, anyway.
I can't say he looks the type, that's just wrong. He's a good, he might be a nice fella.
He's banging in the goals, though, isn't he?
He is. I think he's a really good Championship striker. Thomas Regan wants to see Barry, Distan and Hibbert go, and he wants to see Dalafoe again. It's what the fans want. Lennon and another centre midfield player, defensive midfield player coming in.
There's a theme to it, though, isn't it? I remember when we signed Aaron Lennon, everyone was like, he's not this good is, enough. He's think, shit. He's this. But now he's the first name that everyone wants to see signed.
Says everything about the impact.
Speaks volumes, Mark, doesn't it? Jimmy Keogh has said Alcaraz, Kone and McGeady. If those three players listen to this podcast, they'll be suicidal. And then he wants to see Virgil van Dijk, De La Foe and Charlie Austin. Now, Charlie Austin's getting a mention there. Again, scored goals, hasn't he, for QPR?
Again, that would be a good signing.
Is he someone we need who would complement the likes of Lukaku? A British talented striker, you know?
Yeah.
Who's got goals for a poor side, let's be honest.
He certainly knows where the goal is, Austin. Yeah. He wouldn't be a bad signing. For me, it's like, I prefer, I think he's off to Liverpool. Danny Ings would be, I think, a better player for Lukaku to play alongside.
So Pete Buckley goes on to say Hibbert, McGeady and Kone. The Inns is a couple of new names. Ryan Shawcross being linked with him time and time again.
Yeah.
Gylfi Sigurdsson from Swansea.
No problem with that.
Brilliant, but no chance of getting him.
No.
And Charlie Austin gets a mention again.
Austin's getting really, you know, a big mention there, isn't he? Carl Thomas once, you know, just stuck record this time. Alcaraz and Kone. I'm not saying Carl's a stuck record, we are. And then you want to see Lennon, Austin and Van Dijk come in.
It's almost like some of our fans have been scouts in the Scottish League watching Virgil van Dijk.
Yeah, I think it must have been the other game. I don't know, he looked alright for Celtic. He's Dundee, but you know, it's Dundee. Robert Clark wants to see Kone, Distan and McGeady go, and he'd like to see Ings, Van Dijk and Chicharito. No, that would be.
Hernandez, yeah.
I think maybe Real Madrid would be interested in keeping him the way he's scoring for Madrid at the moment.
Well, he's obviously outcast at United, isn't he?
Yeah.
We signed Man United outcast, so.
That might be a plausible one. Bill. Yeah.
Pal EFC on Twitter says Alcaraz, Howard, and Pienaar. No, that's the first time Pienaar's had a mention, I think.
You got a mention in the sort of afterburners before. The seven.
In. Lennon, Benteke and a new pair of legs for Dallin Gibson.
I think the new pair of legs for Gibson are more realistic than Benteke.
Yeah, you're not getting Benteke. No. I'd be very surprised if Benteke didn't go to Arsenal, Liverpool or Spurs.
Yeah.
Josh Kellett, who is Evertonian based out in Australia, he says out Alcaraz, McGeady and Gibson. We'll put Alcaraz and McGeady on a flight out to Australia, Josh, if that's alright.
I'm not sure Josh would be happy to see them.
No. In Aaron Lennon again, De La Foe and Charlie Austin. So there's very much a trend to all of them, isn't
there? Very much. For every Alcaraz, there's a Charlie Austin, I would say, or, you know.
De La Foe, Virgil van Dijk.
Yeah, what the type of players we sort of maybe need as a club, though. You know, we do need more competition for Lukaku. People, fans always want pace, don't they? You know, I'm a big. You know, thing that we need more pace in the team, definitely.
What have you got, Ken Wright's fax number, Mark? Because I'll send this over now, and what we'll do is we'll break it down into instalments. So what we'll do is we'll give De La Foe 18 million over 80 years.
Bill hasn't been speaking to me lately, but I'll certainly try me best.
Not answering your love letters.
No, I'll try and smooth them over with that. Is one, but I can't see it working.
Is his nephew still pretending to be his nephew on Twitter?
He is. Yeah, he is. I mean, there's nothing worse than a parody who takes himself seriously.
No, but as I said, we're not going to go there.
No.
But these are obviously, I think a lot of them are realistic targets. Why wouldn't they be? I think the De La Foe one, I don't know. I think people are just sort of being a bit sentimental with that. Realism, I think we're looking at the likes of Virgil van Dijk, maybe from Celtic.
Yeah. Charlie Austin.
Charlie Austin, maybe. You pay 10 million for Charlie Austin.
Well, I think keep your eye up for all the world, like they're going to go down now, don't they?
Yeah.
So
Aaron Lennon, the way he's playing, there'd be no surprise that.
Really pleased, Lennon, because like you say, I was made up when we signed him, but there was a lot of negativity. He's got no end product and all that, and I think he's won over the fans with his performances, hasn't he?
Definitely. But just on that, it's obviously that's in an ideal situation. We've probably got our own thoughts on the summer ahead, Mark.
Yeah.
But Martinez has been talking up Tony about saying he could have a massive role to play in the future. Aidan McGeady he's found himself.
Yeah.
I don't know where he's found himself, but he's hinting at new contract. Well, to be fair, this was a while ago when he mentioned about contract talks with Distan and Alcaraz.
Yeah.
I think it'd be ludicrous to give them new deals. I'd be very surprised if Aidan McGeady was still at the club this time in a year. I think he should move on, McGeady. It's not going to work out. The same with Aruna Kone. I just think it's not going to work out.
Yeah.
Tony, but I fully expect him to stay.
But as a coach,
Leon Osman, Yeah, you know. But a bit pat. He's still like the likes of Pienaar.
Yeah,
Hibbert's been getting more injuries, hasn't he?
I agree.
And one thing about Pienaar, Martin, I was quite worried when I read it, to be honest. He said, oh, because he came back, didn't he, for that 60 minutes against Swansea, and he's gone missing since. And he's talked about being close to retirement, but his teammates talked him out of it, and it's terrible, really, if you think about it, isn't it?
I think there's been huge issues with Pienaar's fitness, hasn't there, all season, and he has been given that made of glass feeling lately, hasn't he? You know, he was, you know, I think Swansea rolled back the clock a little bit, didn't he? It was a great display, but like you say, I just think it's like very much like Gibson now, where is it worth keeping him on the payroll? Are we going to get that much out of him next season?
Well, on injuries, there was also the news about Brian Oviedo.
You know, I keep another forgetting one. We've got these players on the books. I feel like, we just haven't seen him all season, have we? For me, this is where the issue with Garber comes up, Matt, because I think Baines is clearly, you know, great player, fantastic left back, go down as one of our very best, I think, you know, but he's clearly on his way down. And Oviedo isn't of Baines, and I don't think he's of Garbutt standard anyway. So he's currently suffering with injuries, you know, again, going down with that. That's why the Garbutt situation is ludicrous to me, because he's clearly the standout candidate for our left back.
There's got to be an underlying reason why something's not being done, but only time will tell. But you do forget, you've got the likes of Gibson, Oviedo, Kone's had terrible injury problems, Pienaar's picking them up, Hibbert's getting them. Who are you going to stick with? Without sounds are quite cutthroat.
Yeah.
There's only so much support you can give these players. And a lot of them are contracted in to Everton, and Everton have to support them, but realistically, do we find ourselves in the same position with some of them in 12 months' time? Yeah. Darren Gibson gets fit for pre-season, but then he pulls up injured in August, September, October, and he's written off again for another 6 months. What do we do, Mark?
They're taking up wage space to sound callous, aren't they? You know, they're taking up wages that are sort of we could give to other players who were going to do a job for us. You're right. He's, you know, feel really sorry for Gibson. He's, you know, he's clearly a great player on his day. But he's, you know, he's, I don't know, his body's failing him right when he doesn't need it to be.
Definitely. And Pienaar, I think, has still got an awful lot to offer.
Yeah.
Gibson showed that, didn't he, in the past couple of months when he was involved.
Yeah.
Pienaar, I think we miss him terribly.
We do.
And
I think we need to be more, like you say, cutthroat. We need to be more ruthless in the summer. I think, you know, we're at a crossroads now. At least let don't carry on this malaise of keeping players who are going to play 6-7 games all season. We need a clear slate, I think, more than ever.
Well, Martinez is talking about Hibbert and McGeady. He also said he was very happy with Tim Howard, which he's not going to come out and say he's unhappy with Tim Howard.
No.
These are the things, Mark. To me, Tim Howard, Aidan McGeady, Tony Hibbert, there'd be three names who I'd be looking to sort of get rid of.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, I'm not saying there'd be teams queuing up to sign them, but Hibbert, you maybe would want to stay on as a coach. But looking down the line, Distan, Alcaraz, you know, Aruna Kone,
Gibson,
who else? You know, Christian Atsu. I mean, what the hell's happened to him?
Where's he gone?
You'd like to say we can have a shutout of 6-7 players and sign Garbutt up to a new deal, tie John Stones down to a new deal and bring in players around them, but this is Everton we're talking about.
And what's happened is, I'm not getting into anything, but the sort of lack of investment over the years in the squad has meant a complete over-reliance on these players. You know, I think to say, you know, for me, the likes of Osmond, and it's not a popular view, I know that, but, you know, a lot of people think he should have maybe been sold 6 years ago, you know, and we're still looking at the possibility of going into the 2015-16 season with him in the team. It's, you know, this should have been done gradually, but now it looks like we need a complete overhaul because we've got, I don't know, more deadwood than a lock cabin resort. I'm just mad at what's going on there. It does look like the revolving door is needed, but this should have been done gradually.
But that's it. So even if you do have an overhaul, you bring new players in, fresh blood.
Yeah.
It might take them 18 months to settle. So you'd have another season, that's another write-off. So I completely agree, Mark. It should be done as a transition. You know, I don't know.
I'd sooner another season of nothing if I knew that we were going in the right direction, you know. We had players in who we could build a team around, but now you look around, it's just like odd job men in it coming in and doing a bit and then going out, and then it's like there's no... You're
picking up 40 grand a week.
You're picking up 40, 50 grand a week in some cases, it's just, there's no dynamism in the squad. We need we need a swill of water to the face, if I can think, can't think of a better analogy than that.
Like you after Aston Villa?
Yes, I needed...
With your hangover?
I think I needed a slap after the Villa game. I was a bit of a...
I think the players needed a slap after the Villa game.
Yeah.
Well, there's a couple of other things, Mark.
Obviously,
a few, any other business pointers. This is last, but not by no means least. Sir Philip Carter passed away recently.
Yeah.
Obviously... The United game, if we would have talked after that, we would have mentioned it straight away because we had the minute silence for that.
Yeah.
Which was probably rudely interrupted by a few. I think it was United fans on the concourse who maybe didn't realise. I'm maybe doing them a favour by saying that. I could be wrong because I don't sit in the park end. Yeah. But anyway,
no,
they're irrelevant to Philip Carter. Obviously, he was massive to Everton Football Club. He was the current life president and former chairman, and he died at 87 after a short illness. Very sad, Mark.
Incredible. Yeah, really sad. You know, he's the chairman when we had our greatest ever team. He was, you know, it's a team effort, isn't it, really, from top to bottom when these teams get put together, and he was part of, you know, arguably our greatest ever period as a club. You know, really sad. He was obviously, you know, devoted to Everton Football Club, really passionate about the club, really, you know, kept up appearances, didn't he? And, you know, it's really sad to hear about that, and, you know, thoughts go out to his family, certainly.
Definitely, well, condolences to his family from us.
Yeah.
I think it speaks volumes the way the players, the former players, the staff, the manager all spoke about Philip Carter and the people of Liverpool in general.
Absolutely.
It should show how highly regarded he was. And a truly... a man who was very much Everton.
An iconic Everton man, really, wasn't he? You know,
And we do have icons, and he was definitely one of them. To me, it's like your LeBones and your Hicksons. It's men who you associate with the club.
Yeah.
Obviously, they're former players as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was sad, but I think the performance against Manchester United done him justice, and he would have been proud of it.
He said.
And he would have been cheering.
Absolutely.
Another thing just about the history of Everton as well is... on this day, Mark, 1928. I only read this today and I thought we've got to include it.
Yeah, this is fascinating.
Dixie Dean scored the 60th goal on May the 5th, 1928. I wasn't there personally.
No.
But I do know someone who was. And I just wanted to mention my granddad, Pat, who, unfortunately, when I spoke to him about this, I didn't even know what a podcast was. Otherwise, I would have loved to have played the conversation I had. Funny enough, he lived in Runcorn. And obviously he died a couple of years ago now, but I always class him as the biggest Evertonian I'll ever know. And whenever I saw him, even when he was on his deathbed, he was laughing at Liverpool because he'd sacked Kenny Dalglish, and things like that will always stick with me. But I sat in his home one afternoon, and I made notes, of which I've got somewhere. I did write an article about it where he reeled off the FA Cup winning side against Sheffield Wednesday, 1933, was that, Mark?
It was.
You were around then, wasn't
Sheffield Wednesday was 66.
Is that when you were born? Yeah?
I was, yeah.
66,
I wasn't moaning back then.
But these are the things, like, obviously my granddad was a lad back then, he was a man, but when Dixie Dean scored the 60th goal, 1928, he was obviously much younger, but he was there at Goodison Park on that afternoon, and he described the feeling. I can only imagine what it was like at Goodison Park in them days, but reading about it just makes the hairs on your neck stand up, doesn't it, Mark?
It does, yeah. I mean, you know, these are the moments that sort of define our football club, aren't they? You know, I remember my granddad, that was the year he was born, so he didn't, you know, he didn't see Dixie, but he you know, it's just moments like that, you know, 60 league goals in a season, that's never going to be beaten. And that's, you know, that's why we're such, moments like that and players like Dixie Dean are, you know, why Everton Football Club is, you know, should be one of the world's biggest clubs, you know. It's a pity we're not now. Been to Dixie Dean's pub in Chester, and he's still there.
Yeah.
He's not there, but he's...
well, if he was, we'd, you know, send the scouts down and get him back, because we could do with someone like that,
No, it's okay. I was just saying, you know, it starts with sort of Ted Segar and Dean and them sort of type of players, doesn't it? You know, and that's how, you know, we come to support the team that we do.
Well, that's what my granddad was another. He mentioned Ted Segar.
Yeah.
On numerous occasions, there was the players who he used to mention, and my granddad used to have his pipe and his whiskey. And he'd sit there for hours talking about Everton, and I used to meet him.
Yeah.
And we used to watch the modern day Everton. And from what I see now to what he saw as a boy is just unimaginable, really. And that today was nice that we can actually mention that.
Absolutely.
Because it's really relevant and it's the anniversary. We've had a lot of anniversaries of recent things, haven't we?
We have, and to be honest, a lot of them, Mark, are tending now to really hurt a little bit, to be honest. More than, there's no pride attached to them anymore. There's a, you know, I do honestly feel there's a growing sense of frustration and pain now of what's going on. You know, I've said it before, you're nothing without hope, and I really think Everton need to get back to being in a position where the fans can hope one day we can get back, because, like you say, it's driving everybody insane, the sort of non-entityness of what's going on.
Yeah, it's all sentiment. And
yeah, the 28, you know, we won the league 28 years ago, I think, wasn't it, the other day?
And obviously it's coming up to the 20-year anniversary to the last silverware.
Yeah, and that's the big one.
Yeah.
That's any trophy, that's not just the league, that's, you know, any trophy. It's frightening to think 19-year-old lads have never seen Everton win anything.
It's scary, really. And much as we can talk about old times and memories, it's like, when are we going to create memories again?
When sort is that? Yes, absolutely.
Am I always going to be reliving a night when we got beat on penalties by Fiorentina?
Yeah, well, I look back at my son and now I'm going to have to think, you know, I have to think really hard about when we beat United 1-0 in the Cup. I was 15, you know, I just thought, when we won the game, I thought, oh, there'll be more of this, we'll win the league next season, we'll sign Chloe Moore and that'll be it. And,
yeah.
You know, the likes of that. But it was, you just took it totally for granted. Had I known, I would have probably eaten the television that day had I known what was going to come in the next 20 years, you know. You just want that hope that one day we'll get back there, and that's what, you know, is the underlying frustration, I think, with Evertonians. We're just doing nothing, and there's nothing.
You don't want a summer where the manager's talking up washed up professionals,
no,
because he thinks they've got tremendous character around Finch Farm. You don't want a season where a couple of players depart, a couple of half players, your likes of your Morales's, you know,
yeah,
people sniffing around Stones, McCarthy, Barkley, Lukaku for that matter.
Yeah.
You don't want, it's like, where are we going to go? We're just going to keep finding ourselves in this position. And even if we have a better season next season and we go for sixth and fifth, when are we ever going to reach for the top? And obviously the Sky Big Four, well, say Big Six,
yeah,
have a massive part to play in that now in the rest of the league. But we've just always got used to punching above our weight, haven't we, in the past few years?
Which, you know, given our history, and I know we shouldn't use, well, we should actually, history is a very good argument for better in the future, but it's just now serving as a bit of a pain. It's starting to cut a little bit deep, all these anniversaries, because they haven't happened hardly in my lifetime.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want my son, and likewise, you know, for everyone's kids out there, you want to grow up as Evertonians. You know, you want to have nights where you think, oh, what was that like, Dad? The way I asked my uncle about Bayern Munich, I want my lad to ask me about, what was it like when we beat, you know?
Yeah.
You know.
It's like we want to make history again.
Yeah.
And obviously, the things going on off the pitch are very much a hot topic at the moment, Mark, but we're going to speak again about that in the next couple of weeks.
We will.
We've covered an awful lot there. The other thing about modern-day football as well is the play. We should mention that Everton are actually subsidising the West Ham ticket prices.
Fantastic touch from the players, definitely. Shows, you know, why we're a great club and stuff like that.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot going on with that at the moment, Mark.
Yeah.
We're nowhere near experts. We're not involved in any sort of protest groups. But
no.
Fair play to the likes of the Blue Union, the FSF, the Spirit of Shankly, the 20s plenty campaign. There's a lot going on. There seems to be an awful lot. And people are a bit naive and they say, well, you know, you've bought your ticket, so the club are getting the money anyway. But that's just half of the problem. It's looking at a televised game where there's hardly any bums in that away end or in that home end. And the media sort of attention, the Newcastle game got against Spurs, the Liverpool game got against Hull. I admire anyone for doing that.
Absolutely.
And it's standing up for what they're proud of. Some people aren't asked about it and they'll say, if I can afford to go to the match, I'll go. But they're doing it for the greater good of the game and sort of bringing the people feel back to football, you know what
right.
I mean?
Well, the working man's getting forced out, isn't he? You know, if a fella's got two kids and he's looking at £200 now, minimum, You know, not everyone has that amount of money to go to the match with, so it becomes, you know, you want to go to the match, it's your passion, you know, it's certainly my passion, but I can't afford to go, you know, as much as I'd like to, because it takes up an awful lot of your money, you know, just going to one game.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, certainly when you walk out with Villa and you think, what is the point? I've spent an absolute fortune here today.
Yeah.
I know that's nothing to do with that, but it's like, I just think the football, you know, with the TV money, they should use it so to get this sort of atmosphere back. And I think that's got a lot to do with working men and, you know, the attitudes and stuff, getting forced out the grounds and other people forced, you know, coming in.
It's like it's like corporate and commercialised, yeah, isn't it? And just
absolutely,
there's no you take away.
I think you're losing some passion from the stands by raising the prices of these tickets. I honestly think
even something the other day, like the police are gonna breathalyse football fans going into grounds and that. And I thought, I know it might sound like everyone's alcoholics who go to Goodison, but I mean the police would have a field day there. But you know
everyone likes to drink. If it means Everton.
Raw Everton on to beat Manchester United 3-0 because everyone's had an extra pint. No one's causing trouble. They're going to support their team, and alcohol will always be part of that to a lot of people. But I completely agree. On that West Ham, for example, if you pay £55, and I think the kids' tickets are about £35.
Yeah,
that's like £120, £130 plus your petrol money, plus your coach money, or whatever. However, you're getting down there.
And food while you're down there.
Your hot dogs for £7.80 or something that you wouldn't feed to a dog.
£4.
Yeah, so there's £2 before you've even got going, right?
Yeah.
But if you're seeing that and you're seeing the Premier League giving your club the most ridiculous amount of money ever,
yeah,
and then you're getting performances like what Everton put in on Saturday, no wonder fans are getting disgruntled. And it's not just Everton, it's fans of Liverpool.
I totally agree.
It's fans of other clubs who are up there. You know, there's been reciprocal agreements with ticket prices, Manchester City, for example.
Yeah.
People are not happy, and we could sit here and probably talk for hours about it, Mark, but we need to get more people who are involved in it on our podcast to highlight it.
I agree, Mark. I think, you know, you have to look at society. I'm not getting into this, you know, with the general election a few days, but there's food, people are going to food banks. You know, this is what's going on in Britain today. So I think the Premier League just needs to take quite a simple view here that the country isn't doing as well as it ought to, and you know, bring prices down so people, you know, who are on low income can still go to match.
Exactly, because people who are on, people who are working are going to the likes of food banks, and without sounding like we're going into question time here.
Exactly.
If you see a business that's just booming and booming, but then there's arguments, people always say, well, you'll always get fans paying, and you will. Like with some other clubs, they're more of a brand than Everton, so they will, but...
Yeah.
I don't know, I just think it's definitely worth a mention here and very relevant because Everton are subsidising the ticket prices for West Ham.
I think credit where it's due, that's a great touch.
You do deserve praise, yeah, and we're, you know, we're quick to slate Everton. To be fair, we're quick to praise them when they've done well and off the pitch in the community, and that we have done, Mark. But
they do this sort of thing really good, Everton, that you can't take that away from them, absolutely.
So let's end on a positive there. Even though they're stepping in and doing something which is a negative because...
Yeah.
They shouldn't have to step in because of the ridiculous prices.
The prices should be down already.
It is a good thing.
Absolutely.
But just to finish, there's another thing going on this Friday which is relevant, and I said to Tony we'd give this a shout out. I'm going, you're going, Mark.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a great Everton night this Friday at the Halton Royal Legion in Runcorn. Well, it's classed as Halton, I think. Tickets are £35 and you can get them via Tony Murrell on Twitter. It's at Murrell Tony. And the likes of Howard Kendall, Mark Ward, Tony Cotty, Bob Latchford, Neville Southall are going to be in attendance for the Everton Blue Heroes. Like, you're looking forward to that, Mark?
Really looking forward to it. Stop, I don't do my usual starstruck face whenever I see someone who I used to idolise on the pitch. I'm not, you know, but yeah.
What if Ken Wright comes out on stage? You shit yourself.
I'll just put a hashtag in front of his face and that'll
if Ken Wright's coming out, they'll put them tickets up to £40, won't they? But anyway, yeah, we thought we'd give it a mention because we're both going. There's still tickets available, and as I say, they've got comedians, a Buffy, Raffles. They're always a brilliant night with Tony down at the Legion. So if we go on, we'll see you there. We might even do a podcast live if it's not too noisy.
Absolutely. Look forward to it.
But it'd be nice, again, we're talking about old memories here. We'll be doing plenty of that on Friday night, but hopefully in a few years' time we can have a bit of history ourselves, you know what I mean? And we've got something to celebrate in the modern day era.
Hopefully, Mark, that's what we've got to strive for as a club.
Definitely. Okay, Mark, well, we've got Sunderland on Saturday. We haven't spoke a little bit about them. we've probably gone on long enough, to be honest. We're not even going to preview that game here, are we?
No.
Let's just hope we beat them and finish in the top 10.
I think, yeah, Sunderland are going to want to, we'll probably have a lot of chances on the counter to hit them, so yeah, I can see having enough to beat Sunderland. They're not the, you know, the best team in the league, are they?
Yeah, I mean, no disrespect to Sunderland.
That sounded incredibly vague, like I had no idea what to say. I think we'll beat Sunderland.
No disrespect to them, but we've gone on long enough here. We're not talking about them as well. But yeah, they're up next. Then we've got West Ham and Spurs. So still a little bit to play for. But I think after what happened on Saturday, we just can't wait to get over the line now.
No, we'll all be great when there's no football to stress or worry over. Start growing a few more hairs.
Yeah, maybe Roberto will have to Just for Men and come back with a full head of hair, like Paddy in Phoenix Nights. It is, it's got like him.
Yeah, that would be great. I think he needs another comb, to be honest, if he had that hair.
Anyway, been good to speak to you, Mark.
And you, Mark. Thanks.
And we'll catch up again soon. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Bye now. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.